What is up, everybody?
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
What's up, everybody? We're going to have to skip past the intro music because it's not working correctly. So the little gremlins are working again. But what is up? This is Big Daddy's Hard Talk Radio, Volume 40. And I have Faye Jackson co-hosting with me again. Felicia Brown couldn't make it today, so hope all is well. We're going to get into some debate. We'll talk some politics, and then we're going to talk some wrestling. And then I have Keith, Sixers reporter. He's calling in around 6:20, just talking about the Sixers, because the season actually starts tomorrow in Massachusetts. We had a couple of bad breaks already, no pun intended, to start the season. So getting to Keith and see what's going on, you know, with the Sixers and everything. And then we'll have some relationship stuff, and then we'll take it on home. How was your weekend, Faye?
Oh, weekend was good. I went to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view last Friday, which was amazing. I didn't get to see Bound for Glory. I'm hoping to catch a replay or something, but I heard that pay-per-view was excellent as well. So shout out to everybody in TNA.
That's what's up. Here's what I want to get on as far as politics and the debate. I don't know if everybody watched the debate this past Monday. And I've been, you know, voting here and there, whatever. And I've really been, like, watching this election. And this election, to me, is very important. And I'm watching this debate. And it's the first time I actually watched the majority of a debate. More normally, I tune in and out or whatever. Didn't really care. But this one I watched a lot of. And was it me or was Donald Trump just an asshole?
Yes. Very much.
And the way that debate went, and the way he was just trying to dominate it, saying the same things over and over again. He wouldn't let Hillary speak, and then when Hillary did speak, he was butting in with his nonsense. Just crazy. It was just crazy.
And honestly think Hillary could have came harder at him the way that he was trying to come at her, like bringing up, oh, well, you were in politics for over 30 years. Why are you trying to change stuff now? Then bringing up her marriage and things like, she could have came so much harder at him if he wanted to do low blows like that.
Mm-hmm. But she kept it classy. She just kind of laughed him off, and she stuck to what was important. Like, she threw a couple of jabs here and there, but she didn't get down and dirty with him. And I was like, good. Mm-hmm. You don't sink to his level. Did come to find out, but it just came out Friday, if it wasn't yesterday, that he hasn't paid taxes in a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
So they're investigating him as far as his tax. Is this the man you really want running the country?
Is this the man you want running the free, what they say, the leader of the free world?
Yeah, you want that man, the leader of the free world? He's not playing, but I'm not saying that I'm a straight shooter and I do everything by the book, but I do pay my taxes, just like everybody else do. And if we don't pay our taxes, we get penalized. You get your wages, your wages garnished. You could possibly go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to him? Because he owes a lot of money. If they come to find out that he, you know, really was cheating and he really wasn't doing this and that, and then he came out today, I seen it. Press conference he was having, he came out and said that he got away with that because he know how to play the law. So he's admitting to using the law
to his advantage.
Benefit him, to his advantage.
Which
he's admitting that.
People need to wake up and realize, like, there are probably a bunch of people, especially the one percenters, that do use the laws to their advantage and do the same thing that he does. If he is elected to office, he will change those laws. and then you voted for him, and everything's going to get worse.
Exactly.
Because he got away with it. Doesn't mean everybody else will.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just, it's a mess. And it's 35 days to this election, so 5 days. Expect to see just craziness go on, you know, between the two candidates, between the two sides. I'm just tired of seeing. And there was somebody that was. My fault. There was somebody that's a guy, he's a black guy, that's been doing this little campaign. And he wears a T-shirt that says free hugs. And he went to a Donald Trump rally. And you should hear the way the people talk to him. It was telling him to go back to the ghetto. I'm not going to hug you. I don't want no germs. And this, that, and the fourth. I'm like, really? Really? With Donald
Trump,
yeah, because
this election has brought the worst out of people. He wants to say that because Obama was in office that it's brought the worst out of people, which, you know, technically it has, but he has just put the icing on the cake.
But when Obama being in office, it just brought out how many bigots really in the world, how they really are. And then it just, it brought to light exactly, you know, what we've all been thinking all along. But now since Trump is doing it, he's pretty much, yeah, I'm a bigot, it's like this, and come out and, you know, be proud about it. And it's just crazy to me. And I'm watching this video, and I'm watching these people just say the most rude stuff. Just because a man is black or, you know, a darker color doesn't mean he lives in the ghetto. I'm a black man, and I grew up in the suburbs. So, you know what I'm saying?
It just amazes me on how many, I really want to hear from somebody that is voting for Trump and not even to argue with them or anything. I just want to hear why. Like, that's just why. What is your, why are you electing, you want this man elected?
Exactly. Exactly. It ain't about jobs. Because if you look at his track record, even when he runs his business, businesses went belly up. So it's not his business sense. He knows how to get it started, but then eventually his business fails. So you tell me how this man is a smart businessman. And how is he going to run the country? Because we had to go through 8 years of Bush tearing stuff up and then 8 years of Obama trying to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have it go back down again is ridiculous. And I'm very concerned for the younger people, the younger generation that's coming up, because it's going to affect them more than affect me. It's going to affect me, but not as much as it's going to affect them. And it scares me. It scares me. That's why we have to keep the right people in office. And people, I'm going to preach this for the next 35 days or how many other show chances I get to go out and vote. Do not hesitate. Do not, like, don't think that your vote doesn't count. Don't let somebody get in your ear and say anything negative. Get up off your behind and go vote. I had to tell my daughter, about my daughter to death, but she moved to South Carolina. And she was like, well, I guess I won't be able to vote this time because I moved. I was like, no, you find out how you can send in an absentee ballot. But you go through, you know, if you can go Google Jay-Z, or you go Google Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, or you can Google this Michael Kors bag or whatever the hell, you can Google how to get paperwork or how to get the absentee ballot so you can vote. Do not hesitate.
Yes, because this election is very important. It's important to our whole country that we get the right people in office.
Exactly. So, all right. We beat that horse. I'm going to take a commercial and we'll come back with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view since you were there. I want you to talk about it. And we'll talk some a little TNA, maybe talk some WWE. And then by that time, Chief should be calling in, And we'll talk some Sixers talk. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 40.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs.
Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 40. Big Daddy and Faye Jackson. So,
yeah.
Faye.
What's up?
Best of the, what's it, All-Star Extravaganza?
Yeah.
Which is last
Friday.
Ring of Honor pay-per-view was Friday, and
yes.
You were there, so
yes,
I'm going to let you talk about it.
All right, so if anybody didn't get to see it, please check out the replay or whatever cheap way that you guys would like to view your pay-per-views, because I know how people are. But overall, very, very, I don't care what people say, if they try to compare Ring of Honor to WWE, TNA, whatever. Awesome pay-per-view from start to the finish. Started with Bobby Fish with the television championship match and Donovan Dijak, and it was his hometown, so that automatically got like the crowd to pop. And they were into it from start to finish. Bobby Fish won.
Whose hometown was it? Fish's or Dijak's hometown?
It was Dijak's hometown.
Okay, go ahead.
And Bobby Fish won, so he retained his television title, and the crowd, you know, didn't like it, even though, you know, Bobby Fish is supposed to be the face of the match. But, you know, when you're in somebody's hometown, they cheer for who they cheer for.
Exactly.
But from start to finish, that match was amazing. And another match I remember was Dalton Castle and Cole Cabana versus ANX, which is Kenny King and Brett Titus versus Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. And if anybody has seen any of their matches or know who I'm talking about with Shane Taylor and Keith Lee, I'm talking about two big old black men.
Who can fly?
Oh, my God.
Who can fly? Much props.
Yeah.
I've seen them on Ring of Honor TV a couple times, and these brothers can go.
Oh, my God. That's all I can say. Versus War Machine, which we all know about Ray Monroe and Hanson. It was a fatal four-way. Like I said, Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. Oh, my God.
Both these brothers
like,
got to be.
I was doing some big stuff. No.
They do big stuff.
They are amazing, and they're so up under the radar that I'm shocked that they haven't gotten any type of tryout yet. Like, they are amazing.
And you got to look
Castle,
at these guys. These guys are about 350, if they're not 400, that can fly around like if they was 240, like cruiserweights.
They fly around like cruiserweights.
Yeah, like cruiserweights. So, yeah, totally agree with what you're saying. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, of course, Dalton Castle, always very entertaining, and he and Cole Cabana won. New Japan was there, and I do not want to, butcher anybody's name because I am so bad with names. But there was a match with the Latin King. And he came from CMLL. And, I can't remember the Japanese guy's name, but they had people on their feet. And this was like the third match.
Really?
Like, they worked their butts off. Like, that was an amazing match from start to finish. So many false finishes. They had people on their feet. That match was amazing. And I'm trying to think who else. Jay Lethal, he wrestled Naito, who's also from New Japan. Of course, that was good. You know, Jay Lethal.
It's just a matter of time before he gets signed to WWE. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, you never know. Adam Cole, who's our world champ in my bay, he defeated Michael Elgin. Well, he defeated Michael Elgin. Another match that had the crowd entertained from start to finish. And then the main event, which I don't remember any tag team matches in my history being a main event of a pay-per-view, but it was main event for a reason. It was the Young Bucks versus the Addiction, who had the belts, versus the Motor City Machine Guns. And what a match. It was a ladder match. A ladder match that, I see why they were the main event. And, of course, to make all the internet people happy, the Young Bucks did go over. So they are the new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. So the internet is very happy. But the Addiction, especially Christopher Daniels, he got busted open pretty much at the beginning of the match and worked the whole match, which was probably a good 25, maybe half hour match, but you couldn't tell because it was just that amazing. And they gave them a standing ovation when they were leaving out the arena because the Addiction worked their butts to the core. You know, super kicks from everybody for everybody with the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns. Of course, they did their thing as well, but that ladder match was beyond like had people on their feet. It was absolutely amazing.
How many people were there, like crowd-wise?
Crowd-wise, I would say it was almost sold out. I'm not going to say it was sold out, but there were a couple of, you know, empty seats here and there, but it was a nice crowd.
Okay, cool.
You know, our crowds aren't big, so
no.
I would say over 1,000.
That's good, though.
For us, that's good.
But let me take this next commercial, and then we're going to come back with Keith from the Inquirer. I'm stuttering today. Inquirer, we're going to talk some Sixers talk. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 40.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs.
Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 40. I got Fake Jackson, and I got my man Keith from the Inquirer called in. What's up, bro?
What's up, y'all?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Faye said, what's up to you?
Hey, how you doing, lady? You doing well?
Good. Yeah, I'm good. That's how great. About you?
You don't mind listening.
Speaking of complaining, you know why I wanted you to call it a day? Now, the season starts tomorrow, as in tomorrow.
Okay.
Ben Simmons breaks his foot. Is it the fact that the city's cursed, or are we just cursed? What's going on, man?
Ooh. I don't know. It does seem like the Sixers are cursed. Huh? I mean, like nah, I don't know. I just think it's just a couple of bad breaks. The excuse the pun, pardon the pun. There's just been a couple of bad breaks. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Noel was injured. They knew that. Embiid was injured. They knew that. You know, the Okafor thing is something that, you know, that happened. And, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, it happens, man. It just, you know, I don't think that the city's cursed, though. I don't think the city's cursed at all.
It was just like, okay, pieces was falling into place, and you knew it was going to be still kind of a rough season, but it was like a positive thing. And then Friday comes along, and you hear about this break, and it's just like, what the heck happened? How long is it going to be out? First, I heard the whole season, but now I'm hearing it's only for 3 months. But do you think that they'll bring him back in 3 months, or will they let him sit out the whole entire season until next season?
I think it depends. I actually think it depends on really what you know, Ben Simmons can do. And then the Sixers, you know, the thing about the Sixers, like under Sam Hinkie, I mean, we know that they were extremely cautious. If someone was injured, they just shut them down. You know, right now, we don't really know what Colangelo wants to do, you know, with that. Mm-hmm. And we will find out soon. But also, I think that, you know, Brian's the type of president who likes to work closely with agents. So I'm pretty sure that he and Ben Simmons' agent have a dialogue going on, you know, just to make sure that when he does come back that he's going to be healthy and that his injury does not reoccur.
Now, my next question is Joel Embiid.
Okay.
You've seen him practice. You've seen him scrimmage. What do you think as far as his progress? Do you think he's going to be able to go this season? Like, are they babying him through practice? Or is he really going, you know, 100% in practice and like, okay, this is when this boy is ready and now let's rock and roll type thing?
Yeah, he's going 100%. But at the same time, he is on, like, a minutes restriction, you know. So, you know, you won't see him out there for extended time. But what they do is, they want him to come in a game and go hard for 4 minutes, like 4 minutes stretches. He just won't have as many as like Nerlens and probably as Jahlil Okafor when Okafor comes back. But, you know, looking at him, I think that people at least initially need to be patient because he's rushed. I mean, he gets better each time he goes out there. But right now, I think everyone needs to be patient. And we'll see, you know, what he can do towards at the latter part of the season. But right now, you know, he just looks like a guy who hasn't played in 2 years.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, he looks good. He's just rusty.
He's rusty, yeah. You have set for 2 years. Of course you're going to be rusty. So he has to get back in not just regular shape, but game shape. And there is a difference.
Yeah.
So,
exactly,
you got to get back in game shape. Now, what about Sturridge? How does he look? Is he blending well with everybody else?
Yeah, he's blending well. You know what, man? The thing that really stood out to me was, you know, he came over here and he kind of knew that it was Ben Simmons' team, and he was just basically trying to fit in. You know, he was trying to do anything he could to gel with his teammates. And, you know, he's shown that he can hit a consistent jumper, you know, but, you know, he's kind of like a poor man's Ben. And what I say is that he can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot better than Simmons. But, you know, he can shoot better than Simmons, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, who would you rather have out there? I mean, I'm saying I'd rather have Ben Simmons out there because, you know, it brings the excitement. He's a better player. But, you know, Saric is more fundamentally sound. And, you know, he's a tough guy. And he seems to be a great teammate, too.
Cool. One more question, and then I'll let you go. Who is running the point this year?
Well, you know what? It's funny because before the injury, I mean, I would say Gerald Bayless and Ben Simmons. But right now, it's like, it looks like, you know, Bayless, I guess, and the reason why I said Bayless is because because he's a point guard who typically plays a lot of the game off the ball. And Ben Simmons will bring it up, and then they were running Ben at the point a lot, exclusive at the point a lot. But right now, I like Sergio Rodriguez. The problem is can he defend and can he shoot? You know, but as far as, like, you know, he kind of, like, reminds me of, like, Ish Smith when he gets out and go. You know, and
yeah.
He plays a little bit better than it. You know, so, I mean, that's his style. Because, you know, Ben Simmons was going to be so ball dominant to whereas you didn't need a point guard like that. But the fact that Ben's not going to be there, you know, I expect to see Sergio getting a lot more minutes.
Now, I'm going to ask you one more question. I know I said that was the last question, but one more question. And this is off Sixers topic. But how did you feel? And I know this is late and I know this is old, but how did you feel when Kevin Durant signed with Golden State? Did you think it was a good move for him? Did you think it was good for the league? Did you think it was a punk move? Did you think Russell Westbrook is better now without him? How did you feel about that?
You know, I really didn't give it much thought. I was a little shocked that he went to Golden State. But at the same time, you know, you never really know what's in someone's heart or the type of conversations he has with people. I mean, I do know some people who know him, and when the talk was that he was definitely coming back, everybody thought he was definitely going to go back to OKC. They told me don't believe that. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I'd rather live in Oakland / San Francisco than OKC any day. I mean, for that point, I mean, I would leave. But, I really can't speak on that because, I don't know. I don't know what's in his heart.
I know that the NBA ticket sales are going to be off the roof every time Golden State comes to town. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
there's going to be a ton of money being made every time Golden State goes to somebody's town. So I think it's good for the league. Yeah. You know I am. You know I'm going to show my behind that game. But I feel like it was good for the league, but it was bad for the league at the same time. It's good for the league because, you're going to have everybody rushing to see this damn near dream team play. Bad for the league is if they don't win the championship, something's not right. And no disrespect to LeBron, no disrespect to Cleveland, but who's going to beat Golden State?
LeBron and Cleveland? It's like,
Exactly. Exactly. But,
hey,
Keith, go ahead.
Keith, can you predict the Sixers season as far as how many wins you think they may get this season?
It's kind of hard. Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, I always said that them winning 27 games early on was going to be a stretch. I don't know. I mean, maybe 22, 23. I mean, I don't know. And the reason why the question is so hard to answer is because they have so many new pieces to where we don't know what they look like. I mean, you know, last year you could say what they were going to do, but right now I don't know. So even that number I have is just a guesstimation. I mean, I don't know. So
I can tell you, at least,
I mean,
I'm thinking at least 16, 17, if not 20, because just like you said, there's a whole lot of new pieces on this team now. It's going to be – they're going to need gel time. Then you got Simmons going to come back halfway through the year. You don't know what Joel Embiid is going to do. You don't know exactly what Serge is going to do. I'm a diehard Sixers fan, but you still don't have a really good, true point guard on your squad who's going to distribute this ball that well. So it's going to be a lot of rough spots. And then you still got this three-headed center monster. And from what I'm hearing, rumbling that Noel is vocal about his playing time and what he's going to be doing. So it's a chance that he might be traded. So you really don't know what's going to happen. That's why I said 16, 17, possibly 20 games.
Yeah, that's about it. That should be about right. I mean, I just don't know. But, know, we'll see. We'll see.
So, all right, buddy, I thank you for calling.
All right, big
you're
day.
Always
thanks
welcome. I will see you Thursday at the game.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. You going to be there, lady?
Oh, no, no, no. I can't come back.
you're banned from the building. Like just
yep.
Joking.
Yep, I'm officially banned.
All right. See you.
All right, bro.
All right, bye-bye.
Later.
Thanks, Keith.
All right, that was very good, very informative about, you know, my heart and soul, my Sixers. So we're going to do, I have a relationship question in it. Anybody out there wants to call in with their relationship question, come on now, 718-508-9883. And here's my question, see what you say to this thing. You and honey are getting married. Y'all engaged. Y'all been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If honey had a close female friend, would you let them two go out together? Like,
and
not as in, like, not like a date, but let's say there was a movie honey wanted to see. You didn't want to see it, but his female friend wanted to see it. Would you get mad if they went to the movies together?
Oh, there you go. I thought you were saying like as like a date, like they wanted to see where their connection went or something like that before he got married. But if they're friends,
no.
Like if they're friends, I can't stop that. So yeah, he can go on a date. Well, not a date, but he can go to the movie with the friends. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I got guy friends, so it kind of be, you know, I can't. Like, he knows some of my guy friends, but he knows about all of my guy friends, especially being in this business of wrestling, where
yeah.
I keep everything platonic with all the guys, and they know that, so they can't try it.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of them wanted just like, oh, let's hang out because we're friends, you know, I hang out with a couple of wrestlers, and they know what it is, and I tell honey, like, yeah, we're going to the mall, we're going to the movies, or blah, 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 blah. And he's like, okay, cool, because he trusts me, just like I trust him. He want to go to the movies with his quote-unquote girlfriend, then go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious. That's a question I wanted to throw out there, because I don't think I would have a problem. I think I know I wouldn't have a problem. I would have to know this dude. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be, like you said, like everybody in the locker room knows, you know, your situation is at the forum, and they know to respect your man. But my thing is, I don't trust male that well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would trust a female more than I would trust a male, and I know how guys are. Like, he might be your friend, but he might be plotting. Yeah, he might be plotting to smash. So, like, if I knew him really well, I wouldn't mind it. But if I didn't know this cat like that, and like you guys just work together and then got to be friends like that, y'all work buddies, and you know, and then blah, blah, blah. Well, I need to meet this guy before this happens. Let me get a feel for him. Because I could judge a person's character by being around them long enough. You know what I'm saying? So I know if he's up to something or not.
You know,
that's
if
what
men
have,
try
like,
it, but women try it at the same time. So, and I think women just get away with it more.
Mm-hmm.
Men try it, but they get caught.
Yeah, because men get sloppy. And I'd be the first
yeah.
thing, because I'm a male. Men get sloppy. They get comfortable. They get
yep.
to the point where it's like, screw it, I don't care. You know, like with a woman, she'll try to sneak in there, you know, say under the radar, a little bit better than a man would. But I would trust it from a female's point of view more than a male, because like men are dogs. And he might be plotting. I don't trust him.
Well, a woman might be plotting too. You never know.
True that.
But on my end, it's like, it's up to honey to not take her plotations if that was her plot. And if he does,
mm-hmm.
it just shows that we probably weren't meant to be together in the first place.
Now, what if it came to you and your male friend traveling together, like the edge or leader situation?
Where things happen and grew into something that is wasn't supposed to grow into.
Yeah, see, that'd be my fear, too.
Yeah, that's a tough situation.
Because it was, matter. Go ahead.
That's just a tough situation only because I don't think there was in that situation with like the Matt and Edge and Lita. I think Matt Hardy was okay with Edge and Lita traveling together like all the time, even though he wasn't there. So that led to them building a bond and a relationship to the point where everything got exposed.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like the same situations I be in. Like, I travel with guys. Nothing happens because I have mace. I have pepper spray. And now my friend gave me a shank in the shape of a cone. It's a cone, but you pull it out and it's a shank inside. It's awesome. So, nobody.
You gangster.
I am.
Just gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Put some speck on your name.
Yeah, I'll pull it out in a second.
All right. That's all I got for this show. This show was a little short, but.
You
didn't
talk about your Raw and SmackDown.
Because it's pretty much the same stuff going on. The next SmackDown.
Are you over it?
I kind of sort of am. Like, they split the brand, and the show hasn't. Like, SmackDown is better to me, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, at first I was really into it. Now I'm starting to lose steam with it. And I watched SmackDown this past week, and I knew that Dean wasn't going to go over with AJ. They would probably carry it into the pay-per-view, and they wanted to build some heat between Dean and Cena, but I'm really over Cena. And, like, Dean got screwed. And I love AJ. I'm an AJ fan. But I don't know if AJ should have rose to the top that quickly, because where do you go from here? He hasn't even been in the company for a year yet.
Nope.
He's already world champ. So over the next couple of years, where do you go with AJ? What do you do with him? How many times is he going to hold it? Like, I don't want to see him just start being that guy like Ziggler that's going to, put the top guys over but never really gets a push. And speaking on that note, I think Ziggler's just about done because he's doing his match with The Miz.
The Miz,
he loses,
yeah.
He has to leave. So I don't know if that's an angle or is that true. I'm kind of sort of hoping it's true because of what Al Snow was saying a while ago. He had put something up on Facebook, a video on Facebook, which, made a lot of sense. Sometimes wrestlers have to leave a company and then come back. You have to repackage yourself. You have to want to be missed for a while. Got to, re-raise your stock. And Dolph Ziggler lost a lot of stock. And over the years, because, his injuries, the concussions, his mouth, saying different things we weren't supposed to. And now, just like Cody did, when Cody was feeling as though he wasn't getting the push he deserved, Cody left. Cody ended up in TNA. And I heard got a big old pop when he showed up. And, they even got his wife working down there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is bad as she want to be. Anyway, so he'll go there for a while, and then he'll come back to, of course, he's going to come back to the WWE, but by that time, he would have rebuilt his stock. Same thing with Damian Sandow, his new name is Aaron Rex or whatever the hell. He had to leave, and then he'll come back, and his stock will be bigger, too. Which I feel as though WWE didn't even try to give him a chance because that man can work and he was entertaining. They didn't really give him enough time.
I was just about to say that,
He was extremely entertaining, and they just really – then he missed the ball with that one.
But do you feel I don't know. It seems like there's been a wave. I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but it's been a wave of, like, tryouts because NXT is trying to bring in new, like, independent workers that have a buzz about them.
Yeah, I did hear certain people getting tryouts or whatever. I didn't get any names of people who...
What was that? I'm sorry.
Nah, I didn't get a name who was actually trying out, and I was curious about that. But yeah, I heard they have been trying out different people.
Yeah, but I know a couple of names like Kimberly, Heidi Lovelace, and I think Eddie Kingston was there.
Mm.
And yeah, there was a couple.
I did hear Eddie Kingston. I do remember hearing Eddie Kingston.
Yep, Kimberly, which I was kind of shocked because I know they had blackballed her for a while. I don't know why, because they don't like WWE trying to say that they don't like intergender matches like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she was doing for a while. But then next month, Candice LeRae is supposed to get a tryout. So do you think them like trying to bring in new, fresh, independent workers? And, you know, you still got roster full of people, and you still got roster full of people in NXT. Do you think it's going to get too much talent, I would say?
I think it's a way of replenishing what they take out of NXT, because you want to keep NXT hot. And, you know, eventually some of the top people in NXT will have to move on to the main roster because that's where you're going to make more money. And I said this to somebody else. I forget who I said this to. The object of wrestling is to make money. Like, you could have 5-star matches on an indie show. It don't mean nothing. You could have 5-star matches in NXT. You'll get a buzz, but it's really not going to mean anything. When you get to the main roster and they start putting that machine behind you and, you know, your merchandising jumps off the roof, and, you know, your popularity gets there, that's when you'll make your most money. So, you know, eventually Nakamura's going to have to move on. He is white hot down there in NXT. How much longer can you keep him there? Eventually, Samoa Joe is going to have to move on. Austin Aries is going to have to move on. Bobby Roode is going to have to move on. These are some of the cats that you're going to have to move up to the main roster so they can make their money. And with that, you got the mid-tier guys who will move up, and you got whoever that you're training now. They'll do their, like, 6 months to a year at the training facility, and then they'll move up to NXT, and then they'll get popular. And then eventually that's when you'll see your Cedars move on and your Randy Ortons move on and guys like that, Big Show, Mark Henry, all these cats, Kane, move on to the sunset because you're replenishing your stock and you're moving guys up and other guys are bumping these other guys out. So I think it's a good thing that they are bringing in new people. You give them a chance to go to your performance center, get them in shape, teach them how you want them to wrestle, allow for them to get the WWE, you know, hide the camera angles and what to do, what to win. So you move them to NXT and then move them on. But like I said, Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, especially Bobby Roode, eventually they got to move up.
So what about the women's division?
The women, eventually again, you got to get rid of your Alicia Foxes. You got to get rid of your, I hate to say it, but Natty's going to eventually have to go. And you got to move some of these women up too and bring some new ones in. Matter of fact, if even more of the women – because the women, sex sells. So as long as you get these hot girls coming through, you know what I mean? You'll keep it moving. You'll keep it moving. You'll make whatever money you're going to make out of them, and then you'll move them on. But you're not going to make any more money off of Alicia Fox. She has to go. You're not going to make any more money off of Natty. She's going to have to go soon. Them chicks have been there for about 10+. Especially, you know, when you got your Charlotte, who's white hot, your Sasha Banks, her big ass head. You know, you got her making. You got her, like, she's very popular with the fans. Bayley finally moved up to the main roster. We'll see how she make out. Like when she first got there, she had a boom. But I noticed these last couple of weeks, her pops haven't been the same. So we'll see how long she lasts. Got Nia Jax. I don't know where you go with her, but eventually you got to make a decision on yay or nay with her. So
yeah, because she hasn't really worked anybody besides Alicia Fox, right?
She's been squashing a bunch of jobbers, and the first person she actually worked that way, had some type of something to them, was Alicia Fox. So we'll see where they go after that with her, as far as she goes. Because now it's going to be like, okay, can she work well enough to work with other, the other girls that protect them and not hurt them? Or do we say, okay, take her off of TV, she's not ready, send her back down to the performance center and see what you can do with her. If you still don't like her, give her a Future Endeavor paper. But I think you're at that point now with her. That don't matter. That don't matter. I know she's The Rock's cousin and everything, but if she ain't producing, they'll let her go.
And then I heard they're doing another round of, you know, sometime next year, probably like really recent. I think they're talking January, February, maybe before WrestleMania, they may do another round of Cruiserweights.
That'd be cool. Because the Cruiserweight tournament got a bigger pop than I thought it would. And they did really well with it. And I don't think you use the same Cruiserweights that you used before. You had to bring in another 32, another fresh 32.
Yeah.
But I think it did well. And when these guys come out, they're busting their ass. And they got a big pop. And that tournament was like, I probably got mad ratings. I don't know what the ratings were as far as the network or how many people watched it. But I know I watched it every Wednesday. And it held my attention. And it, you know, rejuvenated Brian Kendrick's career.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ Perkins, you know, you see this talent that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you see the talent that he had. And Rick Swann, you know, before then he was a jobber in NXT.
Yeah,
but now you
right.
start to see what the talent you have in him. And Cedric Alexander, really, he's getting big push to where he main evented NXT. So, you know, he has a good fan base behind him. And a lot of these cruiserweights are really, like, helping the roster out. So, yeah, if you do it, you got to get a fresh 32 and maybe put a match here or there on TV while you're doing the tournament just to suck the people who don't have the network or not really watch a network like that. You had to do something to suck them into it because I think a lot of people, like maybe younger kids, didn't really catch it.
Mm-hmm.
While it was on the network or whatever, because the show started at 9 o'clock and it was on the network. So if you throw like a match here, there on regular TV, and it's like, okay, these guys will be featured on the Cruiserweight Classic. Tune in at 9 o'clock Wednesdays and check them out. Then it might bring more viewers in, which they didn't do the first time around.
Do you think the Cruiserweight should be featured on Raw every week, though, or do you think that's going to water it down a little bit?
No, you have to feature them on Raw. You have to. You have to. I would say mix them up a little bit, like bring in some other people because I've seen, well, Rick Swann a couple of different times. I've seen Cedric Alexander a couple of different times. Of course, TJ Perkins, he's a champ, and you've seen Kendrick.
Right.
But, like, what about Sabre Jr.? I would have loved to see him show up on a Raw and work a match, and I would like people to actually see somebody who is a cruiserweight, who can fly a little, but just so technical that he will stretch you like a pretzel.
Right.
And people need to see that. It's not just about flippy fly, spot monkey stuff. It's like guys who actually wrestle. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a Sabre Jr. fan once I seen him there because he was stretching guys from here to Minnesota. So
I don't think he's signed.
That's the thing. Sign him. Sign
no,
him.
I don't
bring
think
him
he
in.
Wants to sign.
You don't think what?
I don't think he wants to sign.
He's making a mistake. He's making a mistake because he needs to. And I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah.
He had a whole Steven Regal thing going on. And a lot of his matches were really good. But, all right. Any last words?
Let's see. Oh, I know there is a round of Ring of Honor tryouts this weekend. So if anybody's going, good luck. Bring your A game. Because pro wrestling is, like, really hot right now. So you got to bring your A game.
Yeah. And my train of thought. October 29th, KCW show. It's going to be at the Darby Rec Center. Rikishi, Sandman, it's going to be there. I'll be in the house. I won't be wrestling, but I will be there. So anybody wants to come through, hit me up or hit up Kareem Horton or Facebook if you want tickets. I'll have some better news as far as Big Daddy's concerned. I might be doing another movie.
No.
So, yeah, I got a call this week, so Big Daddy might be doing a movie. So I'll let you know more about that. So that's about it. There's three different types of people in the world. Those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Faye Jackson and Big Daddy that make things happen. And you could do all things through Christ that strengthens you, Philippians 4:13. Good night, and God bless you all.
Bye, everyone.